Premium spirits is one of the most competitive spaces in food and drink, but the brands that win aren't the loudest, they are the clearest. So today I'm joined by Harriet from Penrose Spirits, a beautifully British farm-led brand creating gin in 100% recycled aluminium bottles, using wonky fruit, which we'll go into in more detail, but proving that you just don't have to be in London to build national momentum. So Harriet, welcome to Fueling Foodies. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you. I'm very excited.
No, it's really, really good to have you. And I think the best place for us to start is just a little bit about you, about what you do, where you come from. And I'm going to hand it over to you because I cannot wait to hear more about what you do and whereabouts you're based as well, because obviously we're based in Devon. So over to you.
So yeah, we're Penrose Spirits. We are a family farm-led gin brand based in Herefordshire. So right on the Welsh border. So we're kind of very lucky with beautiful views, and yeah, our farm is kind of heaven to me. And Penrose, that is the name of our farm. So in Welsh, that basically means top of the hill, and we are literally perched on the top of a hill.
Oh, amazing.
I must come and see you. We make our gin. Yes.
Come and see you.
Well, yeah, you'll have to. You can swap the sea for the hills.
We'll do that. We'll definitely do that.
Yeah, and yeah, we make all of our gin there on the farm in an old converted carving kind of cattle stone barn, which is very beautiful.
Yeah, amazing. And people that follow you on social already, I think, can see some of that, can't they? Because I've seen some behind the scenes of the farm and all those beautiful views. So
yeah,
people need to go and check you out to have a look at what it actually looks like, because it's beautiful.
Yeah, we do talk well, very... I call them tours, but it's more stand around chatting, tasting gin, looking at where we are.
Lovely.
But we've got a copper still, so a pot where we make the gin, which we named Connie after my great grandmother. That's where she used to rear the calves.
Oh, wow.
So it was like her little carving shed. So we've named our still Connie after her.
Love that.
And it's like my old bedroom looks out on that shed, which is quite funny.
Wow.
And before it was a distillery, mum and dad turned it into a party shed for me and my brothers. So it's like done kind of a full circle of for calves, then party shed, now gin distillery, turn, I suppose, still party shed.
I wonder what its next reinvention's going to be.
Oh, I dread to think.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So that probably leads us into really nicely then. What you do, the beautiful products that you create, talk to me about that a little bit more. The wonky fruit piece really, really interests me. So start there, because I'd love to hear more about it.
So it started the idea started years ago. So essentially we're two families that run the business together. So you've got my dad is Dickie, and then you've got Charlie, who you've probably seen. He's very good at getting on the socials. They grew fruit together. So for anyone that's into farming, our farm is higher up, so we can grow fruit longer into the year. So they kind of partnered together.
Okay.
And one day, Charlie was growing strawberries and basically had every farmer's nightmare, where he had £30,000 worth of strawberries that he couldn't sell because of the summer being really hot, and he couldn't sell them. And him and dad were like, we can't have this happen again. Why? This fruit is perfect. We need to do something with it. And they were just discussing what could they do. Thought, could we make cider? But then Herefordshire is just full of cider.
Yeah.
Thankfully for me, it was like, okay, let's make some gin. My mum and Charlie's wife, Kate, were obviously very on board. That's how Penrose began. So we launched our first bottle in 2018 on the 1st of December, which in hindsight was kind of crazy. The whole thing was that we were wanting to use the fruit from our farm that we couldn't sell. And this was kind of before the whole wonky fruit. There wasn't really a term for what we were using. So we were just really calling it like the waste. And we wanted to make a blueberry gin. And we found that actually that wouldn't really work. The blueberry flavors didn't really come through. So we put them in the still. And we then made this like beautifully smooth dry gin. So our blueberries in our gin are our kind of secret weapon, and our logo is actually a blueberry. But
So I'm a gin girl, so I'm loving this conversation already, because I am a gin girl. But just show up your product, just pull it back a bit, because I can. That's it. So this is your
so the apple and elderflower, which was the third flavor we launched, and it is basically the British countryside in a bottle. It's just, I mean, yeah, it's my favourite. I just love it.
I cannot wait to try some.
Yes. And when the sun is shining and you have a glass of this, the world is fine. You're good.
Yeah, the world is absolutely fine. So just talk to me about, obviously, from a farming perspective, it comes with that sort of provenance piece, the trust piece, the selling to a consumer. How do you get that across as a brand? Because that's a difficult one, isn't it? To say, you know, this is our farm, this is our family farm. We want you to taste all of the great things that we've grown, and this is the output of it. How do you really keep the brand close to that provenance level and keep it really authentic, I suppose is the word?
Yeah, I think when it comes to our marketing and how we present Penrose, I just try and be like super honest. Like, this is what we are. You know, we've got our wellies on. We're in the countryside. We're making it in this barn. And just, you know, be really kind of honest with what we're putting out there. And our socials are real. They're never heavily edited, or we're quite happy to put our faces on there. And I think you buy from people, don't you? We're a family brand, and Penrose is literally my home. So when I see a Penrose on a shelf, like in Sainsbury's, for example, I'm like, wow, that is my farm name on there next to those big brands. And it's, I can't really describe actually how that feels.
But I love that. You've given me like goosebumps saying that, because that is the reason we work in food and drink, because it's that story piece. It's that authentic, real story about the product you've created has a real mass meaning, and everybody else gets to taste it. It's amazing.
Yeah. But then I think in answering your question, when you're looking at product on a shelf, how you then get your story out there. I mean, it's what you do. It's quite hard. So, yeah, it's just that, you know, showing where we live, showing the farm, showing the fruit. If we're going to a farm to collect fruit, we'll document it.
Yeah.
And we'll then let all our email subscribers know. It's keeping everyone involved in what's going on.
Yeah. And do you find it difficult, the balance between, obviously, you are telling your story and your wonderful product and everything that comes with it, but do you find it difficult between, you know, what do customers actually connect with and buy from versus the story that you're trying to sell? Because that's a really, it's an interesting one that I have a lot of conversations about. You know, do you tell your story and hope that customers buy, or do you also have to lean into that more sales side of it to get the, and when I say that, I mean things like Black Friday or, you know, whatever it might be. Is there a really fine balance, and do you find it difficult?
Yes, I find it really difficult. Black Friday, I find so complicated, because you don't just want to throw out massive discounts and the pressure of buy now kind of thing. So in that, I suppose if we're answering it in terms of Black Friday, I keep it really only to subscribers, and it's our Blue Friday. So it's trying to, again, keep it real to who we are, because, you know, we care about the environment. We're not all about buy. And, you know, we have our tours, which is another example of connecting with people. And we don't just talk to them about how to taste gin. We really take them through the whole story of the absolute madness that has happened over the last, you know, 8 years. And then they really connect to the brand versus just, this is how you taste gin.
Yeah. And that takes me really nicely into, it is such a crowded market, gin, isn't it? And it's a busy space to be in.
Yeah.
Do you find it challenging and difficult at times? How do you navigate that? Because it is a busy one. You know, if I think about even in Devon, we have so many gins just down here, let alone nationwide, you know, UK-wide. So how do you navigate that?
Oh, that is the trickiest because every area has its own local gin, which rightly shows they should care about. So it's very tricky to say for us to break into Devon because you've got your own delicious gins there.
Yeah.
And maybe why are you going to care about Herefordshire brand? So that's so tricky. And then you're also up against the big brands with those massive budgets. So when I look at the Sainsbury shelves, what we're up against there versus our little farm brand is absolutely crazy. But that, I mean, that is just, I don't even think I can answer that because it's just so hard. I think we just got to keep going, keep shouting about what makes us different and making really delicious gin that people have to keep buying.
Yeah. And that takes me as well into, so if we wanted to buy your products, where could we go and where can we find you? What does that look like in terms of, so from a sort of marketing and digital marketing perspective, which is obviously our bag, is it more D2C and online? Is it more wholesale? Is it more trade? What does that mix look like and where can customers find you?
So all over really. The website is my baby that I'm trying to grow. So I'm actually in the process of moving to Shopify, which is very exciting.
That is music to our ears. We love
you'd like
Shopify.
That. Yeah, so we're setting that up at the moment. Our website, Amazon Prime, and then nationally, our London Dry has a Sainsbury's listing. So we were part of the Future Brand scheme a few years ago, which was absolute madness. So yeah, probably Sainsbury's for our dry gin, our website for our flavours, and then Amazon.
Okay. So best sellers then, which is your best selling flavour, your most popular? Which one does everybody love the most?
So our London Dry is always comes out top. And it is a delicious gin. And then the Afflin Elderflower, which I've mentioned, but I might be biased there because I, as you can tell, I'm very passionate about that gin.
I can't wait to taste both of them. So packaging, I think that's a really important one to touch upon because naturally as a consumer in the market, most gins are in bottles. So yours are slightly different. So let's touch on that because that's another really important part of your brand that I think is worth talking about.
Yeah, definitely. So we, like everyone else, were in glass bottles. And don't get me wrong, like, we were so proud of them. They were beautiful. And when we launched back in 2018, we spent hours discussing the Pantone, everything around it. And if you'd have said to me back then, oh, you're going to be in a recycled aluminium bottle, I would have just not believed you. But we've been in the glass packaging for a few years and we wanted to order more bottles. And we just opened up a discussion of what could we do that's actually a bit different, a bit better for the environment. And at the time, the Frugal Pack had just kind of come out.
Yep.
And sadly, I can't take the credit for this. Charlie was watching his son play rugby. And a lady next to him had a recycled aluminium drinks bottle.
Yeah.
And it just sparked this idea in his head. And there wasn't really any going back then. We found out the benefits. So from moving to our recycled aluminium, cut our packaging carbon footprint by 91%.
That's amazing.
And it was just, you just couldn't ignore those figures. And for us being farmers, we really care for the environment. So that was just like a no-brainer. And when this bottle is full, it's still lighter than the glass bottle is when it's empty. So you can sort of get 10 aluminium for one glass. Like it's huge. Although the packaging was so important to us, it's made us a real challenger brand versus just kind of a gin brand that was based on a farm. We were really local then. And we thought, we'll just send this bottle to the Sainsbury's buyer and just don't know, do you? And within a few days, we're in head office being introduced to the Future Brands department, which is absolutely crazy. And then, so we launched that in the January, and then in the September, it was on the shelf in 400 Sainsbury stores.
Oh, talk to me about that feeling. I want to know how that felt.
It's indescribable. I bumped into a friend in our local Sainsbury. So I was literally there jumping up and down on the spot. She's taking photos of me. Like, what are you doing? It was just amazing. Yeah. I can't describe it because I think you always have this aim in your head that you'll see your product in a supermarket. But as we mentioned, there's so many gins and it's so hard to get on that shelf.
Yeah.
And we launched with our dry gin and our wonky raspberry, and it was just, magical. But then I thought the hard work was getting it on the shelf. The hard work then started once we were on the shelf.
Yeah. So again, talk to me about that. When you say the hard work started once you're on the shelf, is that from a production perspective? Is that from, you know, fulfillment? Is it getting it marketed, more people seeing it? What do you mean by that?
I think everything. I mean, the first order was 15,000 bottles, which, you know, I've mentioned we make it on the farm. Charlie was up like 3 o'clock in the morning turning on the still, and we really had to go for it.
Yeah.
But we've managed to get a handle on that. But I think again, being that small brand that is on the shelf in areas of the UK that they've probably never heard of us, probably can't pronounce it, you know, that's the real struggle. Why should you, when you're looking at that shelf, pick up our bottle versus a brand that you know or your friend likes that one? But things that we changed, for example, the recycled aluminium, so on the bottle is there. Originally, yep. It started off there. But once it went on the shelf, you actually couldn't read that.
No.
So, and that was, you know, probably the most important factor of the packaging. So we changed that. And it's just kind of tweaking things all the time and just really thinking about it.
So again, let's talk about another massive milestone for you. Mum, I was on TV. Now I saw your LinkedIn post. Mum, I'm on TV.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the TV ad.
Well, that was, I was scrolling through LinkedIn, as you do, and I came across a Sky advert. You could, the Sky Footprint Fund. So you had to pitch in what you were doing, why you were caring for the environment, about your brand, to win an opportunity of £20,000 worth of advertising across the Sky. And they would pay for you to create your own TV ad. So I just entered on a whim, and to be honest, I'd forgotten about it. And then I had this phone call to say your pitch is tomorrow. And I was like, my pitch for what? So I quickly pulled together what I could and did this pitch, these absolute loveliest ladies from the Sky. And yeah, we were picked for the West Midlands, and it was just the best experience ever. I was totally in my element. So I got to design our TV ad, organise the filming of it. Also did the voiceover, although they were worried I didn't sound like I was old enough to drink, which is quite funny. But yeah, it was just the best thing ever. And then seeing it on TV, it played during the Ashes, so loads of people were seeing it. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I was at a, you'll love this, I was at at an event sampling, and this guy came over and was like, "You're the girl off TV. I've seen your gin on TV." I was like, wow, this is a moment.
That is my moment. Mum, I've made it.
Yeah.
And what did that mean from obviously an awareness and sort of a credibility and a retail perspective? So what did that mean from a business perspective in essence? Did you see sales spike? Did everything sort of automatically go up? Or because it was being shown at different times, was it a continuous sort of uplift?
So the month that we aired, we had our best month on Amazon. So we definitely saw that, and traffic to our website really went up. So that was exciting. And just people seeing it and messaging. Yeah. And we really tried to widen it. So we got so much PR when we won. The amazing PR team we work with got us that side of it. Then also when we filmed it, we turned that into a PR moment. And then when it went live on TV, so like I went on the radio and talked about it. So like just trying to really amplify every part of it. It was like a huge campaign for us across the summer. And I really, I hope I did a good job of bringing people along to like the filming part of it. Because it probably was the whole family in a field on the farm.
And how did you work out that sort of story piece of it? Because how do you pick such a time? Obviously, it's such a short space of time, but how do you tell a story in such a short space of time and tell your audience as much as you want to tell them? Did you find that was a challenge?
It was, because it's only 25 seconds really with the end frame. But I think we're just so clear on what we are and who we are that I didn't find it too hard.
Yeah.
And I just had this vision of, I wanted to sell the countryside dream effectively and leave people feeling thirsty.
Yeah. Oh, I
which
love
I
that.
Hope I achieved.
Yeah. So I watched it last night and I definitely, you sold me the dream that I need to come and see you, and I was definitely ready for a gin. So it was great.
Perfect.
It was a win. Okay, so we've spoken about sort of that retail listing. Obviously, we've touched on the massive TV moment, which was huge. But the majority of our listeners are in a very similar position to you. They are founders. They are building brands. They come up with those challenges around how do you grow when it is a family business? What does that look like operationally, digitally, you know, whatever that means. But what are your biggest learnings? And this is probably a difficult question, but from the point of, you know, taking what you've got and growing it, what are your biggest learnings? Because I find this part really useful, and I know our audience will find it really useful. And whether that's an online learning, whether that's a marketing learning, whether that's being in store, what to you is like the pinnacle learning moment?
Oh, there's so many. In terms of, so my love is the marketing side, the growth of the brand. I just, I love socials and I love email. I think
that's
if I was going
to
start,
I
know you love that. So we've only been doing it for about 2 years. So that's something I would do straight away. Is collect that data and communicate your story to those people that are interested. But I think the biggest thing is know what you stand for and don't ever go away from that. Be really clear on what your brand is and like who you belong to, your customer.
Yeah. And again, and I know we've briefly had this conversation around email, and I'm sure, you know, I could talk about email forever and a day, but the power of storytelling via email as well is really, really important. And all of those great things that we've spoken about already, you know, on the farm, the wonky fruit piece, the aluminium bottle, all of that lives so nicely in your email sort of ecosystem when new customers come in. And that's a really good time for you to then educate them on, you know, who you are and not lose that value piece. So that is like music to my ears that you said that, because I love to hear it and I love to hear it's a powerful channel. But when you say your values, do you mean the way you show up or the way the brand shows up?
Yeah, I think both, to be honest. I think that I am the brand. So I make sure that in every touch point, I am being how I want Penrose to be perceived. Every phone conversation, every email, every person I meet, I want them to leave loving Penrose.
Yeah.
And loving the countryside and farming and anything, you know, to do with Penrose. So I think, and there's such a pressure when you start a business to say yes to every opportunity.
Yeah.
But, you know, if a collaboration comes your way, I can use an example. Our big partnership last year was Oddbox, and their customer and everything they stand for is so in line with us. And we created this chili and pear gin, which was absolutely crazy. And it just works so well. So just that, I mean, partnerships along with emails, I think they're such a important part for kind of relatively easy growth. That makes sense.
Yeah. And again, we talk about it all the time. If you find a brand that is so aligned with your customer, that is such a sweet spot for growth, because why not share what they've got and you share back, and actually for minimal cost? So again, it's definitely the way to go. And I think, like you say, keeping it authentic and real and true to your story and your values is absolutely key with that. So just thinking about rural, where you're based, on the farm, all of those lovely things that you get to wake up to that we do as well in Devon. But and I'm a massive advocate to say this, because we're based in the Southwest. Things are a bit sleepy down here sometimes, which I'm sure they are where you are as well. But not everything has to happen in London, right? And I talk about it all the time. And I think when you grow a brand, actually, London doesn't need to be that sort of springboard for growth. And I've heard you say it a few times. So I'm just going to drop that and let you talk around, you know, what does that mean for you? And how do you advocate that actually we don't need to be in London to build a brand and a business?
Yeah, I think for a long time, when you're not based in London, you feel sort of left out from that, particularly the kind of challenger community when they're popping up on a tube station, sampling and doing these crazy things, which for us just isn't possible.
Yeah.
But we're really trying to bring people back to loving the countryside. So an example of kind of a community-led thing that we're doing is Sip and Walk. So we meet at the farm and we just go for a walk. And then, of course, we have a gin and tonic at the end, but we also raise money for a farming-based charity that helps with mental health. So it can be lonely living in a rural... I mean, I'm sure it can be lonely living in London, but, you know, just getting together. We also have a big Christmas party where we have carol singing and just, you know, try and bring people in the community together, which I think is so important. But we have also done the crazy stunts in London outside Wimbledon and things like that that do need to be done. But we're also very passionate about Herefordshire. So you'll have to come on one.
Yeah, honestly, I'm just thinking, can't wait for a team day out where we all go and we all come and see you and do a sip and walk. I feel like I've got a team that would absolutely love to do that. But it is important, isn't it? It's that balance between showing up and being loud in those places where there's mass visibility, but also, like you say, going back to these are our values, this is where we're from, and this is what it stands for. That's so, so important. And I love to hear when founders and brands are like, this is our bread and butter and we know that. That's, you know, always stick to that, because I think it's really, really powerful. So 2026, new year. I know we're currently talking in February. When this will go out, it'll be in March. What does the year look like for you? And do you have any exciting plans? I know you can't tell me some of the stuff, but just give me a little bit of a what's to come.
It is so crazy when you're growing a brand. It's so up and down all the time, isn't it? Like, just the maddest things happen. But we've recently just launched in Dubai duty free, which is an example of madness. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that is, just we're all fighting over who should go to Dubai, because we're doing our first big activation in March. But so that's in the 1 litre format. So we've launched that as well in January. We launched the 1 litre. And our bottle is just so perfect for travel. It's light. It doesn't break. So that's a really big focus for us. We're in London City, Luton, Terminal 2 in Heathrow, on some ferries. So that's a huge focus for us this year. And we're just, again, doing more of the getting people outside. The bottle is basically made for a picnic.
Yeah.
So meeting up with friends, enjoying a gin and tonic, and just growing, you know, the love for the brand.
Yeah. I mean, if you want anybody to go to Dubai to buy a bottle of your dry gin, I'm sure I could do it for you. It's fine.
Yes. So if any listeners are going to Dubai, let me know.
Yeah, and send a picture with a bottle. We want to see it.
Yeah. Please, desperately.
Yeah, amazing. And I would also imagine that as you get into that sort of summer period as well, do you see that sort of seasonality spike as well with the weather, when the weather gets better?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there is something about the sunshine that makes you want that gin and tonic. So if the sun would like to appear at any time soon, we'd really appreciate that.
I am so sick of grey weather. Like,
I know.
I'm so sick of it. I feel like this year has been the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently it has rained every day since New Year's Eve.
Oh, no. It's awful, isn't it?
But maybe we're going to have an epic summer for all the gin drinkers.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. So... just to sort of round it up in terms of what we've been talking about, I would love to hear, is there a moment where you've gone, I don't think we can sustain this anymore. This is just getting too much. I don't think I can do it. Oh my goodness, where do we go from here? Have you had one of those, God, what are we doing moments?
Oh yeah, quite a few actually. I have in answer to that. I think all of our meetings we have around our kitchen table on the farm.
Okay.
And sometimes I just look at my parents and think, this is absolutely crazy. You know, when we're trying to organise 1 litre bottles going to Dubai, But I think whenever you have those moments, you just push through and then you see it on that shelf. And being a family business, and Charlie and Kate, who are our partners in it, I mean, they're basically like a second set of parents to me now. I'm with them constantly. So whenever you make a decision, and I'm sure, well, I know I've made lots of wrong decisions because I came into the business as a 21-year-old. I had literally no experience. But they let me kind of go and make these decisions. And if they're right or wrong, we back each other, which I think is so important. And Charlie's incredibly positive. So when I'm like, oh God, this is happening, it's going to be fine. We can absolutely do that. And then ultimately we're farming. We will knuckle down and we'll do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course, there's moments, but the highs, you know, seeing it on the shelf in places, and even little things like when your friends gift it to someone else, or you meet someone that's been given it for Mother's Day, or it's just such an amazing thing. They're making a gin and tonic with your product that you've made on your family farm.
It's like a full circle moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. I love it so much. I know you're
on Zoom, but I can feel, like, from everything that you're saying, how passionate you are about it. And I'm a passionate gin drinker, but your passion around how you make it, the farm it comes from, and also that value piece is so, you know, it's so strong. And I can feel all of the love for everything you do as well. So I guess the last thing to say is absolutely go and try and find your gin, try it, taste it. We want to hear tag stories. Go and follow them on socials. Visit the website. So I don't know if you want to just do a little bit how everybody can find you on online.
Yeah, so on our socials, so Penrose Spirits, and then our website, penrosespirits.co.uk. But yeah, come and give us a follow. I make lots of cocktails online, show you around the farm, show you how we make gin, anything like that, what we're up to.
And we are definitely booking in a summer or spring trip to come and see you. I would love to come up to the farm. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be fab. Thank you so much.
It's been wonderful having you and hearing about all of your stories, all of your big moments. The TV moment, I think, is my favourite, because I would also go, Mum, I'm on TV. but keep up the hard work. It's definitely showing. And I cannot wait to watch what 2026 has got in store for you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No, thank you for being here, and we will speak to you very soon.